from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Against the Marlins, trying to avoid the sweep at 12:10. Bob Haney with you, Vinny's off till next week. Nolan McGraw is over there joining us now to talk about what's happening down on the farm and get his thoughts on the Orioles draft. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say, yeah, they did really well in the fourth round. But he knows what he's talking about. Orioles got some high marks, I guess, for what they did from OriolesHangout.com. Tony Pente. Tony, good morning. How you feeling?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you?
Hanging in there, dude. Before we get to the draft that was and the grades, and we don't know how it's all going to turn out. Now, if he could pull Elias a 2019-level draft, we're cool with that. But Connor Norby's up in the lineup today at second base. Kobe Mayo's played first base. Last couple of ball games will start with Norby since he'll be on the diamond in about an hour. Defensive abilities at second base, and what are you trying to read between the lines here with Mayo sliding over to first base here?
Yeah, I think definitely you could definitely read between those lines pretty solidly because he's been playing a lot of first base lately. You know, I think the Orioles are very happy with Westberg at third base this year. His defense has looked a little more shakier, especially going to his right. The range hasn't been there this year at second base, so you know, they really value defense, and I think if they want to get Mayo's bat in a lineup, first base is probably where they're looking to do that. And, you know, obviously Mountcastle has kind of been one of his and I hate to say it, but it's true. He's in one of his typical long stretches where he's not producing, and that's a tough thing to do when you're a first baseman. So he very well could be one of the guys you see get moved at the deadline here for some very needed pitching. Norby defensively is kind of who he is. You know, he's not going to be very smooth out there. Again, he doesn't have a lot of range either. He's not great at turning the double play. They really prefer him out in left or right field. But, you know, right now they have a need at second base, and, you know, Norby's getting that shot.
Now, we saw him earlier when he was up about a month or so ago, Tony, Connor Norby were talking about, and it looks like he's got a little swagger to him. Like, he's not overwhelmed in the moment, and it looks like the offensive abilities could certainly play at this level. Tony?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah. You there?
I lost you. I'm back.
Right, we're back. It's, Connor Norby, offensively, he's a major league level player. Is that what we're saying here?
I don't know if he's an elite guy, but I think he's the kind of guy that's going to put up some numbers. You know, I think he's going to hit. I think he's a solid major league bat. Is he, you know, I think he's Westberg light, you know, he's not going to hit, I don't think, as well as Westberg, but I think he's going to bump similar type of numbers, just maybe with, I don't think the average is going to be quite there, but, and he doesn't have the consistent, you know, power. I mean, he can get a hold, he has some good pull power and he can get into some balls, but he just doesn't have that raw power that you see, that you're going to see from times, from, from Westbury and Gunner and guys like that. But, you know, I think the bat is what bats his calling card, and he does have a solid stick.
Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Total Request Thursday. Chase McDermott made the debut last night. Looked good for three innings. That fourth inning, things kind of went haywire for him just a little bit. Your impressions of his first start? Now, he did get optioned back today, but I'm assuming we'll see him again in some capacity. Tony Pente, you've watched him since the Orioles acquired him 2 years ago. What did you think?
Yeah, he looks exactly like the guy I've seen, you know, this year in AAA. I mean, he's got good stuff. He can miss bats, but he's inconsistent, sometimes inning to inning and sometimes start to start. And that's kind of who he is. He'll be 26 years old, come up here in August. Obviously, you can see that that he does have some good stuff. It's just the consistency of it has always been the concern. He can go out when everything's working, it looks great. And when it's not, it can go. It can go from inning to inning. You just don't know. And this is why I think ultimately he reminds me of a right-handed version of Deal Hall. You know, I was kind of calling for a while for Hall to be transitioned to relief. He did have some success in that role before he was moved to the Brewers and moved back to the rotation where he got hurt. But I think with McDermott, I think he's the guy. I would love to see them work exactly how they kind of did Deal Hall a little bit when they brought him up for a start. Then took him back to AAA and then kind of worked him in as a reliever to get him used to pitching every couple of days, because that's a skill that they don't know whether he has. You don't know how fast he recovers. You don't know how fast he how much rest he needs between outings, even if they do move him to the pen. So I'd like to see him move in that role, because I think he's a guy that could come in and be a maybe potentially an impact reliever late in August and into September and maybe in the playoffs for this team.
Now, Tony, before we get to what the Orioles did in this year's draft, let's look back at last year's first round pick. Enrique Bradfield looks like he's really starting to take his game to the next level here offensively, because as we know, the speed and the defense especially really can play at this level.
Yeah, you know, Bradfield's held his own in A-ball, and that's a tough hitting environment. The Carolina League has been, you know, always tough. When a lot of the Orioles prospects, when you look at there, they didn't put up good numbers. And then when they got to Bowie, they got better. And, you know, I think that he's a guy that probably will get his way up to Bowie. He's been banged up a lot, though. So if you look at he tends to miss games in chunks. Not like he has to go in the IL, but just a situation where all of a sudden you see him, he's out of the lineup, he's out for two or three games, he gets back in. So there's some durability questions there, I think. You know, he's not a muscular guy, he's kind of a thin guy, kind of guy, and you do wonder if that's going to be a concern as it moves forward. But I think overall what we've seen is a kind of the guy that they drafted, you know, not a ton of power, but trying to drive the ball more this year, which is what they needed him to do, stop hitting the ball on the ground so much, and just trying to get a little bit more damage out of him. Defensively, he is who he is. You know, he's obviously going to outrun balls out there with his 80-grade speed. He doesn't always take great routes. His arm is below average, but he's a solid defender out in center field.
All right, Tony, 2024 draft, Vance Honeycutt, first-round pick, number 22 overall. We were talking to our friends at Baseball America earlier in the week, and this guy could either be a steal at 22 or, because of the strikeout rate, maybe be somewhat of a disaster. What do you think of Vance Honeycutt? What stuck out to me, and I'm not going to say I watched every game of North Carolina baseball, he hits right-handed, which the Orioles could really use at some point at the major league level here.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that really stands out for you is the defense. You know, he's a plus defender. He's a big guy. He moves well. He runs well. Obviously, he's one of those guys with really has four solid tools. The problem is the hit tool, as he said, right? Whether he's going to make enough contact. There's some swing issues that I've seen some scouts talk about a little bit. You know, I think that's pretty accurate. The statement is that, you know, this is a kind of a swing for the fences. If you get it, you got yourself a guy that's going to be a five-tool guy at the major league level. If the hit tool is not good, well, maybe you end up with Judd Fabian, you know, where he's sitting in Double-A and striking out, you know, 40% of the time. So, yeah, just the tools you got. It's kind of chances that you have to take sometimes when you're in that 22nd, you know, that type of pick. You know, they're not picking that top five anymore, so they're going to take more risk, and that with risk is going to come the fact that you could just swing and miss.
Now, when the Orioles get graded highly for what they did in the draft, what do we make of this? I mean, it's better than an F, but the fact that they were given kudos for the draft process, I guess there has to be some level of optimism here.
Yeah, you know, obviously Michael Eye stayed with his his concept on how he drafts, right? He drafts college hitters. He doesn't get his pitchers till later in the draft. When they do draft pitchers, they're typically guys that didn't put up great stats. They have decent stuff, but they've been inconsistent. And unfortunately, you know, right now with that strategy, to this point, that's the sixth draft that Mike Elias just did. He's never drafted and developed one pitcher yet out of anybody he's drafted. Not one single pitcher, not a relief pitcher, no one. The ones that have made it have been guys that he's acquired in trade. So, you know, his strategy is to go after these college hitters, and he's had some success, obviously, with the Westbergs and Adleys, and then you're seeing Kelser, obviously, success, and Kirkstad. And you're seeing guys like Norby coming up that should help the team. So, you know, he's having success at helping that. But when you look at the pitching staff, what does the Orioles need right now? They need a starter, and they need an impact reliever, at least one. And there's nobody in the system unless, you're going to convert McDermott. Maybe you convert him over, and he could be an impact guy in relief. There's nothing sitting here right now that you go, I just dip down in the system and go get that guy. So they're going to have to move some of these assets. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt if they got to move one of the big three, but they're going to need to do something and get some impact pitching.
Tony Petty, OrielsHangout.com. I'd be stunned, by the way. You mentioned that as we close the segment with this. Tarek Skubal leaves Detroit. Crochet could be had, it looks like, from Chicago. But you mentioned the big three. Who would be the one they would most likely part with? And tell our audience who the big three is.
Yeah, the big three is Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, and Samuel Basayo. And, you know, right now, Basayo is the farthest out. He may have the highest ceiling of all three of those guys when it comes especially offensive ceilings. You know, so it's going to be hurt to see any of those three go. I mean, for me, Kobe Mayo is almost an assured impact bat that you could put in the lineup right now. You know, that's a tough guy to move. And then, obviously, Jackson Holliday is, you know, considered by many to be the number one prospect in all of baseball. And that's a tough guy to move as well. So I'm sure Elias does not want to move one of those three. But if you're going to look for a guy, you want to get an impact starter like Skubal can be. And the key with getting Skubal is that you get him not only the rest of this year, you get two more years after that. And when you look at the pitching staff, the starting staff, you're assuming, again, we don't know what's going to go on with Corbin, but, you know, the Orioles have never really ever gone after somebody that's going to command what he's going to command. So if you assume he's gone, what do you have in a starting rotation next year going in there? Skubal certainly makes that feel a lot better. So you may have to part one of those three. And if you have to part one of those three, I think Basayo is the one that's the most redundant, because I think ultimately he's going to have to move to first base, and I think that's where Kobe Mayo is going to be.
Tony Pente, tell everyone what's happening at OrielsHangout.com.
Well, we're talking about everything you're seeing here. We're talking about everything that's going on the trade deadline. A lot of conversations about these prospects. And as always, we're tracking everybody in the whole system and do a prospect rankings. And you can check it out over there at OrielsHangout.com.
And I'm sure with the Orioles in first place by game and a half, the message board, everyone's calm, cool, collected, and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah. 16 and 19 their last, what, you know, let's add that up. I don't know. I'm not good at math.
Stop bringing up facts.
Well, lately.
All right, Tony Petty, thanks for your time as always, brother. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday.
All right, you too, Bob. Take care.
There he is, Tony Petty. We'll come back, whip around. Mike Bordick's joining us. We'll take your phone calls. I was running hot last night watching the Orioles. I'm sure a lot of you were. It sounded like after the game, Brandon High was definitely running hot with his
arm. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'll bet.
Biddy and Hades with
brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around here on this Total Request Thursday. It's Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Biddy's on vacation. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Orioles and Marlins coming up at 12:10. I'll give you the lineups here in a couple of minutes. Orioles trying to avoid the sweep. Ravens are off today, as training camp well underway. Lamar was out there yesterday for a while, and we'll talk about that when we get the news from the Nest. And Brian Wacker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun coming up at 12:30. But Nolan, I don't know how closely you're paying attention to the United States under 23 Olympic soccer team men.
Not at all.
Neither was I. I was looking for stuff to talk about during the whip around here that isn't the normal stuff, but they lost to France yesterday, and I plead ignorance, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, and I'm always wrong, but I'm guessing U23 means under 23.
That I do know.
Yes, yeah. So I am right with that one, unless it's some sort of secret kickball code that I'm not aware of. So group play began. U.S. got donutted. First appearance in the Olympic Games for the United States since 2008. The opening ceremonies coming up here a couple of days. Coco Gauff and LeBron going to be the flag bearers for the United States, looking to do some great things over there in France. But it's hard to believe we are coming up on yet another Olympic Games here. Remember, 2020 got pushed ahead a year because of COVID, and now they're back on track, which, according to my GED math, says, Nolan, that the next Winter Olympics will be in 2026. And we can all look forward to that, too, because I'm cool with that thing where they roll the ball on, or the little thing on the ice.
Curling.
The stone. The curling. Yes. Curling rules.
Oh, the Winter Olympics are great.
Yeah.
Bobsled.
Yeah, curling looks like something I'd be good at. But then again, I think cornhole would be something I'd be good at, and I'm terrible at. You're just taking a bag filled with, well, it's corn, but now it's really not, and throw it into a hole, a stationary target. How can you suck at that? But
that's,
I suck
on ESPN
at
ESPN sometimes.
Yeah, and those dudes never miss, right. And ladies.
Yeah.
And I'm got semi-decent hand-eye. Well, never mind, since I'm blind in one eye. I guess my hand-eye coordination. But I've digressed in a big, big way. So there you go. In the NBA world, they got the U.S. Olympic basketball teams looking for gold. Both favorite to win said gold medals. But NBA news, we were talking about this a couple of days ago with TNTN. Well, let's revisit what we're not going to hear anymore after next season.
No matter how much you scream, you loud, listen, that does not make you right. Listen. You're wrong in the city.
You can, and that's why you ain't winning because you was a baby. Stop babying these players.
I'm not babying no players.
He don't play. No, he don't play. You got to sit his ass down. Period. You got baby. That's why you ain't winning.
He got the. I didn't have Dwayne. I didn't have Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant carry me up and down the court.
So why you don't want to play? Because I got three finals MVP, because, Chuck. Because you Google me, Chuck.
That's funny. And then what did Shaq say? Why are you in the Hall of Fame? Well, didn't Charles win an MVP? He got Phoenix to the finals and had Philly good. He was kind of a one-man gang. But let's be honest. Shaq attack, he was a pretty strong. Is he the best center in the history of the NBA? In my opinion, no. But is he one of the best players in the history of the NBA? Absolutely. So is Barkley. And I tell you what, young kids, and Nolan, I don't know if you've ever seen Barkley highlights, especially when he was in Philly, 6'4", dribbling behind his back, dunking from foul lines. He was a monster at his size especially. I mean, if he was Shaq's size or LeBron's size, he'd probably have 5 NBA championship rings. So he was an undersized power forward carrying teams. Shaq came into the NBA when the centers were still kind of the focal points of, you know, making franchise teams.
No doubt. Just going to miss all the nonsense. And but something tells me that they'll find a way to do something together, those guys. Ernie and Kenny as well. Mm-hmm. There's just too much chemistry there for them to not link up in some capacity.
And by the way, Ernie Johnson, one of the great broadcasters of all time. Maybe the best studio host of all time. And Kenny the Jet Smith, McDonald's All-American, 4-year star at North Carolina, got 2 NBA rings. With the Houston Rockets, I mean, he was no slouch himself as a ball player. But what happened yesterday, the NBA officially announced that the rights staying with ESPN/ABC. NBC back in the game, along with Peacock and Amazon Prime, will replace TNT. And we talked about this a couple of days ago. Apparently, they had matched the $1.8 billion that Amazon Prime had thrown out there as they felt was contractually their obligation to do so or their right. But the NBA announced that it's not happening, so now TNT looking maybe to go to litigation. But if this stays the way that it is, 2024-2025, last year of Inside the NBA, and it seemed as though all along, Nolan, that the NBA wanted streaming to be a very big part of the process as Amazon Prime, which is what TNT has done, will take over Thursday night basketball. Because during the football season, Shaq Attack and Barkley and all them, they're on Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. Transition to Thursdays once football's over. Same thing with Amazon. And they're going to have like conference finals and everything. But doesn't Peacock kind of hit your streaming platform? Is that what you're looking to do here?
Right. I mean, that's your streaming only. But I don't really know what the intentions are these days. None of it makes sense, splitting all of this up into different outlets. It does mean that, I mean, obviously the presentation is going to be different play-by-play. I saw that Mike Tirico is going to be the lead guy for NBC's coverage of NBA.
I'm cool with him.
But now that it's not on TNT, what happens with Kevin Harlan? Are we going to be hearing him doing NBA games anymore?
Hollering Harlan. Yeah. I like him doing NBA games.
He does everything.
Yeah. So there you go. TNT looks like they're finally out of the NBA business after next season. Vinny at 81.057. The Fed's whip around. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. This day in sports history. It's July 25th. Let's see here. 1990. Baseball at then Sky Dome. Kansas City beat the Blue Jays 6-1. You're going, who cares? Well, how about 37-year-old George Brett hit for the cycle? Pretty awesome accomplishment for a guy that won a batting title in 3 different decades. 1970 Orioles history in Minnesota. Preview of the ALCS. Don Buford, 2-run homer in the 8th. David Johnson, 3-for-5 with a ribby. Dick All got the win. Orioles beat the Twins 6-5. 2014 in Seattle, Nolan. Chris Davis hit a homer in the 10th inning. Nelson Cruz also went deep. Darren O'Day got the win. Zach Britton is 19th save. Orioles edged the Mariners 2-1. 2016, Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Manny Machado He hits a brown ball to Jordan Lyles, who boots it, which scores Adam Jones, who was 2 for 5 with 2 ribbies, as the Orioles stun the Rockies in 10 innings, 3-2. Speaking of Jordan Lyles, he signed a minor league deal with the Dodgers after leaving the Kansas City Royals. But 8 years ago today, he booted a ground ball from Manny Machado that led to an Orioles 3-2 win over the Rockies. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us next. Talk about the Orioles' struggles here. Trade deadline thoughts from the Oriole Hall of Famer. As we said, then it's Funhouse Trip. Nolan McGraw, news from the Nest at noon. Oriole Hall of Famer, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He is the one and only Mike Bordick. Bordy, how you feeling today?
Hey, Bob. I'm great, man. How you feeling?
Can't complain, Mike, except I was saying it in the opening of the show, watching the last two games, last night in particular, kind of pissed off. You just watching all of this kind of unfold in slow time. I mean, some of these innings have been taking forever for the Orioles here, but where has all the offense gone in the month of July? I know they were tepid in, what, May, perked up in June, but this year a lot of guys really struggling. You watch their approach at the plate. What are you seeing here?
Yeah, it's been just a little up and down. You know, I think Brandon Hyde hits the nail on the head. I think these guys want to succeed so much, right? There's just so much want that they're trying a little harder. I will say this, Colton Cowser is looking like he's made a nice little adjustment here in the middle part of the season, starting to hit more off-speed pitches. I mean, the book's out, so the hitter's got to make the adjustment, and he's been picking up some pretty good hits. Had a nice one last night with the bases loaded. So, yeah, it's just timely hitting is the name of the game, right? One hit can kind of break things open a little bit, and they've really been struggling to find that, and it makes you wonder. Now, is this team, I know we talk about pitching all the time, but could they possibly be looking for an offensive spark too? Just something different, something to mix it up a little bit, maybe a proven hitter somewhere down the road. But it's interesting. I think you're just going to see the ebb and flow of this Oriole offense as a young offense. They continue to try to work through this process, learning who they are this season, and kind of deal with the ups and downs. I'm not really worried about this team. I still believe that they're, you know, top five teams in baseball, and there's just a lot of excitement right now. I'll say this. I think as trade deadlines approach, it's kind of interesting how players themselves handle that kind of pressure, because a lot of guys get talked about. A lot of guys, you know, they think that their teammates might get traded. They see their name all of a sudden pop up there. And, you know, we've been talking all along about this young team and just different elements of the environment that come in that can kind of get into a player's mind a little bit. And these guys have had a lot to deal with this year. So I think I'm not worried about them at all. Yeah, would I like them to get one or two more timely hits? That would kind of make everybody feel better. I just feel like they're just a great group of young athletes that they have to go through these ups and downs, and they will come out on top at the end.
All right, let me ask you this. That being said, Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer. Look, Adley's hitting .133 in July. He's getting the day off, but grand scheme, big picture, not that concerned. But Mountcastle, .226, talking about July. Hayes, .233. Said after a big June, .196. Of the young veterans, who's the most concerning with the offensive woes right now?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I mean, I obviously, like everybody else, I think Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins have kind of been put into platoon roles, and it would be nice if they could kind of stabilize their offensive game so they could be more productive from both sides of the plate. I'm a little down on Mountcastle. I mean, the beginning of the month, I had him as a guy that was going to turn the corner, because last year he went through so much and then really picked it up in the month of July and became, you know, an offensive leader in the month of August to help support this team to 101 wins. So I expected more from him. But, you know, there's another one. His name's been talked about a lot, and now there are things happening that makes you think, oh, my gosh, is Mountcastle a name that's coming up in the trade, you know, deadline and things like that. So you got to believe he's thinking about that. And he's got to think about hitting a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and a power slider. So there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes through the guys' heads right now this time of year. And I expect them, after the trade deadline, to settle back in and just play a really good brand of Oriole baseball.
Mike Bordicorio, Hall of Famer, joining us. Vidi and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Total Request Thursday. But getting back to the trade deadline, you've been traded before Mike Bordick and went to a more advantageous situation with Baltimore to the Mets, where you went to the World Series. But not just you personally. How does that affect the clubhouse a little bit, knowing that you're looking around and some names that you're familiar with, maybe you came through the ranks with, might not be around much longer?
Yeah, I know. It's really tough. And I know being a part of that 2000 sell-off, it was tough, man, because, you know, all teams, I think, come together. Sometimes we underachieve, and certainly the 2000 Orioles underachieved, but we had really good players with great track records. And next thing you know, they're, you know, trading away B.J. Surhoff and Will Clark and Charles Johnson. And it's tough, man. And then you look at it like, okay, this is a business, man. This is what we do. Hopefully one of us make it to the World Series and have an opportunity, because ultimately that's the bottom line. Do you win? Do you get experiences to have opportunities to be on winning teams? So, but it's a challenge, man. And when everybody thinks, oh yeah, I want to get traded, I'll tell you this, man, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Trying to make friends with new teammates, understand the system, understand the coaches. And it's challenging. So, the guys that actually have success after a trade, it ain't easy to do. And I tip my hat to those guys.
All right, Mike, let's get to we know about the rotation issues and the problems they have, which we think will be addressed, at least try to be addressed, in the next 5 days of the trade deadline. But what about the bullpen? What's concerning you there? Seeing how Perez, for instance, has not exactly had the most effective July, shall we say.
Who has, man? It's really been inconsistent. It's you get worried about that stuff when you see these inconsistencies start to pop up in the Orioles bullpen. And in a lot of ways, it makes you hope that they can, you know, I know we're all looking for marquee names, but man, oh man, you need some backup, some more arms. Just, you might have to spell a couple of these guys, keep them rested, keep them strong throughout the course of the season. So, you know, understanding how to actually manage 162 games out of a bullpen is extremely challenging. And I think we have to understand that there are going to be these ups and downs, but you got to try to keep these guys' confidence up. And it's extremely challenging. And there aren't too many guys that are red hot right now in the Oriole bullpen. So maybe landing another piece could really help kind of build that kind of mental attitude up a little bit.
As they finish off with their ace, Corbin Burnes against Miami, then you have San Diego and Toronto, like the National League, American League version of each other, even though San Diego is playing some really good baseball right now. How do you think things unfolding for the Orioles, Mike Elias, over the next 5 days as they try to maintain their spot on top of the East, which could be bigger, or they could be trailing because the Yankees and Red Sox aren't exactly lighting the world on fire recently either?
No, that's true, man. It seems like collectively the teams on top have kind of taken a little lull in the action, if you will. Not too many teams really playing well. Seems like the middle of the pack teams, they're all starting to play ready, almost to the fact that the teams that are all in the bubble, the trade deadline teams, that seems like they're playing well, like these players want to get traded to a contender. I'm sure there are a lot of guys that want to play for the Orioles right now, so they're playing a lot better. And the top teams have a little lull. So I expect there to be right back to business after the trade deadline. And I think it's going to be an interesting week for sure, because, like I said, a lot of names come up. Social media plays an impact on this because everybody's on it now. And you see your name, you start getting worried, and it just takes you out of the proper headspace.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joins us every Thursday. Vidi and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bordy, always great to talk to you. I will see you next week down at Pickles Pub. How's that sound?
Looking forward to it, man. Can't wait.
All right, Mike. Thanks, man. There's Mike Bordick, everybody. Oriole Hall of Famer Birds coming up against the Marlins in a matter of minutes. Give you the starting lineups. Take a phone call. If you want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Ravens are off today, but they were practicing yesterday. Lamar was there for about an hour. Got news from the Nets coming your way. Going to hear from Zach Orr. Got buy or sell. Where's our late week money counting that? Hopefully at 12:15. And Brian Wacker, get his impressions of the team as we're creeping closer and closer to the preseason opener. Think about it this way, everybody. The Hall of Fame game's a week from today. Was running hot yesterday watching the Orioles lose again. Third straight loss. Homerless in Miami. Let's go to Towson, bring in Robert. Robert, thanks for holding. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. I'm no problem the whole time. For the Skubal trade and the rumors and such and whatnot, I think the right trade is a trade that both of the fan bases feel like they gave up too much and didn't get enough back. And if you listen to Detroit Sports Talk Radio, they want Holiday, Mayo, and Beavers. And if you listen to Baltimore, they don't want to give up maybe Mayo and then prospects in the late, you know, teens, that kind of thing. And I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. Maybe it's not a Holiday, but maybe it's Mayo and Beavers and one other guy. But I think the thing that a lot of people are overlooking is this guy, you're going to have him for three playoff runs. And I know the prior guy had mentioned that. Are they going to pay Burns? If you take a straw poll of fans, probably not. So you have a huge hole. And the other thing, too, is if you look around the landscape right now, Yankees are struggling. Rangers are struggling. And I know everyone's like, hey, I don't want to mortgage the future. The future is now. There's no telling what happens if Henderson gets hurt next year. What happens if Rutschman gets hurt next year? For the most part, a lot of your everyday players have been healthy and have been producing. I think you got to strike when the iron's hot, because the reality is Holiday, everybody that's down there at the minors is blocked by somebody on the major league roster. So you're not impacting the major league roster this year if you push some chips in and get Skubal, who is the odds on favorite betting wise to get the Cy Young. I don't think tomorrow's not promised, I guess, is my right. Long-winded
way. And by the way, that's a great call. And a national writer compared, you know, the 2016 Cubs, and look at the Blue Jays. Current day is these teams that have this mix of young talent and this veteran acquisition presence that they brought in. You figure these are these long-term dynasties. Well, the 2016 Cub dynasty lasted a year. The Blue Jays might be blowing things up in the next 5 days. So to your point, there's no guarantees for anything. Rutschman and Gunner, in particular, Westberg, they've all played on winning teams, like the Mount Castles, the Hays, the Mullins, the Santanders. They played on bad teams, but they've all kind of cultivated together. But yeah, the window's wide open. And if Detroit's willing, by the way, to move Skubal, and there's no guarantees that's even going to be part of the reality, if they're willing to move him, you're not going to give him Stowers and McDermott or a guy, you know, who, like you just said, is the 15th rated prospect. That's not happening. They're going to want the left side of the menu, and you're going to have to sacrifice some high-end stuff to get it done for a controllable pitcher, because I like Crochet in theory, but maybe more for next year in the rotation. He might be more of a bullpen piece here in 24, assuming they get him, by the way.
The other thing, too, is the rotation, they also need some bullpen help. And the Tigers, if there's one thing that they've been able to do, is they have a really good pitching coach, Chris Federer, who came from University of Michigan, then went to the Tigers, where he is now. They have some relievers with a low 3 ERA, so maybe you package something there. And I guess my last point would be, the Tigers GM's a young guy, Scott Harris, came from the Giants and everything like that. And if there's one thing that he's going to be maybe possibly gun-shy is, this is either a career make or break move. You can't have, and Detroit fans remember this, when they traded Verlander, they got a pitcher that flamed out, they got a catcher that's still on the team, and they got Daz Cameron, who was Mike Cameron's son, who flamed out. So that's sort of the malaise of the fans. But Harris, he's a young guy. Does he want to trade an ace? And if this blows up, he's probably canned. But if it works out, he's a genius. I don't know, 2 years, 3 years. I think he's been in there for 3 years. Does he want to do a major move like that so early in his tenure?
Hey, Robert, thanks for the call. Not to mention the fact that Casey Mize, who was the first pick in the draft, he's been dealing with injuries. They're probably going to move Jack Flaherty as well. And Jason Foley to the bullpen conversation. He was mentioned in one of these hypothetical trades, Nolan, a couple of days ago. This is not only a dilemma for Detroit, but obviously for Mike Elias, because Jackson Holliday 2 months ago was the number one prospect in baseball and still is in the eyes of a lot of people. And what's he, 20 years old? I mean, he's not even old enough to order a beer at a bar yet. And all of a sudden we're giving up on him. And Scooble, though, you plug him in for this year, obviously. I put him right behind Burns in front of Grayson. But with Burns expected to leave, and maybe, you know, Will Rubenstein can pull a rabbit out of his hat and keep him around long term. But Scooble and Grayson and Kramer, at least you have a solid three to begin your 2025 season with Bradish and Wells and, you know, Means as a free agent anyway. A lot of dudes who aren't coming back anytime soon.
I think there's a debate to be had about dealing Jackson Holliday at this point. Yesterday, I said it was a very un-Mike Elias move. I'd be kind of shocked if he was in any sort of package next Tuesday's deadline. But you do need to have that conversation, because I agree with what Robert was saying there on the call. For this year alone, just 2024, Jackson Holliday has been a non-factor for the Major League club.
No
he
doubt.
Was here for a little bit, didn't do anything. He has not been responsible really at all for any of their wins. They need a pitcher for this year. You could trade Jackson Holliday, gain Tarek Skubal, again, just for 2024, would be an overly whelming net positive. But are you willing to mortgage some of the future for that kind of return for 1 year?
And therein lies the rub. I mean, Jackson Holliday could turn out to be a 10-time All-Star for the Tigers, and say he goes with Heston Kerstedt. I don't know if Heston Kerstedt will hit 40 home runs a year in that ballpark, which isn't exactly known. If it was old Tiger Stadium, he probably would with that short right field porch. But therein lies the dilemma. If you have an opportunity to win the World Series this year, and the Orioles certainly do, how all in is Mike Elias going to be? And by the way, unless the Orioles catch fire in the end of July, they're looking at their first losing month in a long, long time. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest coming up in a matter of minutes. Buy or sell, 12:15. Where's the late week money? Hopefully we're counting that. Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. We'll talk Ravens with him. We'll get to the Funhouse, talk more with Nolan, and I'll give you my retina surgery, what's happening, and I'll explain why.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.